Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's episode is entitled, Yahweh Sits Enthroned Upon the Flood. This episode of Pneumaticos will explore the presence of Yahweh upon the chaos of the human condition. Yahweh knows what Freud and Jung only recently found out about the human heart. The dark arts of the heart are no secret to Yahweh. Hence, the reason for his incomparable salvation provided through Jesus. Freedom in this life comes when an individual surrenders his heart to Yahweh through Jesus. It is very important to understand that we live in a time in which individuals are attempting to proclaim a generic spirituality. And the arguments for such a position or such a belief are very interesting. They assume that God is not there, that is, the proponents of generic spirituality. They assume that the spirituality that they advocate can be generated from the human heart and through the will of persons. Now, these arguments seem to be historical in that there is no historical foundation for such a position or belief. It is a philosophical position or an argument for spirituality that represents complete human autonomy, that isolates the individual within his own heart to create a spirituality that is satisfying, or that is enough for the individual. While there are many flaws to such an argument, I just don't have the time in a radio broadcast to go through the flaws of such an argument. And so, of course, what this so-called organized religion is decried in mass, and the generalization, the sweeping generalization, is that all religions are the same. And so they argue for religious power, which has not met the needs of mankind. It is also important to understand that Western history, Western church history, has a different viewpoint. And I'm going to say that the message of the biblical documents is indeed radical. But the radicalism that it proclaims has nothing to do with violence. The radicalism that it proclaims has to do with God's decisive action toward mankind through Jesus. The biblical documents teach or give us a picture of God's plan of salvation or his plan to rescue the humanity from itself. The human heart is exposed in the scriptures for what it truly is. And in Jeremiah 17, we're given a very important picture of what the human heart is like in its current condition, and when the human heart is unregenerate. That is, when the individual has not been born anew. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 reads, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" And so in the Hebrew text, the term heart is lev. In Greek, it is cardia. Cardia. And so in and notice the state of being verb that Jeremiah used. The heart is. So in those few words, we are told something very important. So we have the article, ba, we have the noun, heart, we have the state of being verb, and then the next word, Jeremiah states, this, the heart is deceitful. In the Hebrew, the word deceitful means sickly, incurable, or beyond cure. And then the statement is made, who can understand it? Verse 10, we have this wonderful and very poignant answer. I, Yahweh. In the English it reads, I, the Lord. In Hebrew it reads, Yahweh. I, Yahweh, search the heart. That is, explore or probe the lev. Is Yahweh, who searches and explores the lev and examines the mind. The Hebrew word here is kidney or kilva. And kilva represents the inmost being, the seat of thought and emotion of the inner person. It is Yahweh who blesses the heart, according to Jeremiah 31, to make it brand new, who writes his word upon the table of the heart, who gives new life, who gives meaning. And you know as well as I that we live in a time in which meaning is being systematically expunged from persons in Western culture. You and I see this going on. You and I are witnessing before our very eyes the radical removal of meaning. And so individuals without meaning and individuals without purpose are hurting. You and I see this. But these very hurting human beings can be used as economic entities or ciphers. They can be figured in a mathematical algorithm for usefulness and how to take from individuals or how to have individuals surrender their freedom. How that or how they might be used for some purpose. The analytics are everywhere. And there are groups that order special analytics, see how they might market their goods or services. And the what an individual is metaphysically as such is being swept away. This is what I wanted to discuss about a very frightening condition today. How are the needs of a person being addressed spiritually for real? And I am talking about the deepest needs of the heart. If God is taken away, if God is taken out of the out of culture, then what will happen to culture? What will happen to our institutions? Well, we see it all around us. I have a friend who's a marriage and family therapist who works in a middle school. And there are times when she shares with me what her experience is like in such an environment. What the children face at home. What is lacking in their home, what is lacking in their lives. It is important to understand that God cannot be wiped out of the human condition. Yes, one can proclaim philosophical autonomous philosophical atheism and say there is no God. But that opinion does not remove the reality of God. That is the opinion of an individual who, like you and I, have beneath the bony vault of his head 1,500 grams of a pinkish-gray walnut called the brain. And so by definition, his experience or his experiences like ours are limited. It is not possible for an individual to know all things. And so to make a sweeping, the sweeping unfounded generalization or statement that there is no God, maybe a passionate opinion, but it does not remove the reality and the intrinsic necessity of God. Verse 10, Jeremiah 17, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. God gives life. God is the life giver. In Psalm 29, we read, verse 10, Psalm 29:10, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. So, sits, of course, is a verb. Yasab in Hebrew, the tau perfect, which means completed action. Now in Hebrew, the perfect is often used where the present is employed in English. So the Lord sits enthroned over the flood or over the Mabul. This is the word that is used in the Genesis document with regard to the universal catastrophic overthrow of the landmass through the flood waters or through the Mabul. The psalmist pictures God as over or upon the chaos. And because of evil that had gone rampant, because of the autonomous evil that existed in the antediluvian world, God brought in the Mabul. God ended that ancient condition. And that overthrow of the antediluvian world was a picture of the power of God to bring in or to return the world to de-creation. And we see that after God wiped away that old world, and he had sculpted the topography again through fluid dynamics, through hydrodynamics. He allowed the world to emerge again, and the very process that God used in Genesis 1 to bring in the God uses again. We read in the book of Exodus of the contest that Pharaoh had with Yahweh and how systematically Yahweh attacked the gods of ancient Egyptian culture. Every attack that we read about in Exodus was an attack upon the gods, the rampant, the pandemic gods of the Egyptian. And Pharaoh chased the people of God to the Red Sea, or Sea of Reeds, and the people of God were allowed to go through on dry land because the Lord had driven back the waters all that night. And after the people of God had passed through, we read that before they did so, that the water stood up as a heap on both sides of them. That is, God parted waters and made a way through for his people. And the Pharaoh tried to chase after God's people. Notice the intention. Notice the intentional passion of Pharaoh. The miracle of the water standing up in a heap did not impress him. The Shekinah glory that kept him away from the people of God that night did not impress him. He was so intent upon the destruction of the people of God that he brought he and his choice troops went into the waters. And notice what happened. After the people of God had passed through, the waters collapsed. The firmament joined together again. And Pharaoh and his army were swallowed up. See, in spite of the dismissal of the presence of God, in spite of the attempted trivialization of God, in spite of those who want to limit the attributes of God, of those who say that God may be powerful, but he is not all powerful, in spite of those who attempt to cut off the attributes of God because their pride is so swollen with only what they want to believe. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. God is omnipresent in time. And God is eternal. God sits enthroned above the flood. We need the constancy of God in this world. We need the constancy of the awareness that God is there. If God is for us, who can be against us? We need the constancy of the reality of who God is. Every day. And so, in Psalm 29, we have this beautiful and powerful picture of the presence of God. Notice how Psalm 29 begins. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his Shem. Do his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. He is our healer. Yahweh is our healer. It is the constancy of God that stays our soul, that challenges us not to quit our stations, not to quit where God has placed us. Because if there is anything that the enemy wants, it is to weaken our resolve to live for God to weaken, to make us believe that we are somehow detached, or that Yahweh is unmindful of our condition or estate. Once again, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. Let me say that in Hebrew, the word glory, kabod. Kabod means the weight of God. The weight of God. The God of glory thunders. Verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. The Hebrew mind was very concrete. The Hebrew mind did not think in abstraction. The Hebrew mind thought in very practical word pictures, in immediacy and concrete awareness. Too many believers in Western culture are suffering from the Western mentality about God and the Western mentality about the biblical documents. Our healing of these things will come about when we begin to once again, or when God heals us and we become concrete persons. Persons in the Western cultural world are not concrete. As Alan Watts said long ago, that Westerners do not love matter so much as they love measurement. Alan Watts said long ago that in Western culture, and mind you, this was in the 60s, he said the bread that was being created was tasteless because it lacked heart, it lacked fiber. He said, and the houses that were being built looked as if they were built by a person who had never seen a house but only heard of them. We need to return to a concrete understanding of God, a concrete understanding of who He is. The Lord sits enthroned above the floods, that is, the situations that come that challenge me, that seek to oppress me, that seek to make me feel that I don't matter, that seek to expunge meaning from my universe, that see me merely as an economic cipher. God gives meaning. God gives purpose. God has a plan for my life above the plans of man. God has awareness of my deepest needs. He searches the heart. He explores the layer. God knows the content of my cardia, that is, of my heart. We must return to God. He is our healer. We hope for His salvation in this day. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you and you have a wonderful day.